Welcome to Solo Out. I am here today with a friend. I've been thinking a lot about what's going on in the world and watching the divisiveness, the extremism that I see in the world around me. And yet at the same time, I've got some people that I know and friends that I care about that I think that we have more middle ground than we even acknowledge. And so it just feels very important that, you know, we're in Taurus, the very end of Taurus season. And Taurus is all about peace. How do we find peace within? How do we create a world, you know, around us that's peaceful and calm, where we feel safe? You know, we're not living in fear. And I think that's a problem for many of us right now. We've been living in fear. And so, okay, if we're going to create a world of peace, our challenge becomes, how do we do that? And so I've invited in my friend, Dr. Bonnie Nussbaum. But Bonnie and I have been working together for a very long time. And I guess, Bonnie, I guess I should let you describe your titles.
Yep, absolutely. Hi, everybody. I usually say psychologist and holistic coach.
I would have said something similar, but I wasn't quite sure where you're at these days. But the reason that I wanted to talk to Bonnie, and I want to catch myself saying but there right off the bat, because that's one of the things that Bonnie and I have done in our conversations a lot. Has become aware of where using the word but discounts the other person, what they just said. So we've been really working on ands. So I just want to say, and Bonnie and I have been working together. We started out as accountability buddies a long time ago. So we were just talking a little bit ago, and I think it's been 10 years or longer.
Yes.
We started out talking twice a week. We're now once a week. What I found very interesting right from the get-go is Bonnie and I are not always on the same page. You know, we seem to run in kind of opposite cycles. It seems like when she's up, I'm down. When I'm down, she's up. When she's, you know, all motivated to do something, I'm like the naysayer and all negative or whatever it is. We seem like we run in some opposites. So in some ways, that is required that we figure out how to have healthier conversations and resolve conflict, which is what has been something that has allowed us to have what I would say is a very deep relationship. Bonnie probably knows me better than anyone. I guess I just feel like I want to take a breath right there because I've been vulnerable with Bonnie. Not always easy. Like, I don't know, I think about even going to a therapist and there's one person that's supposed to be out vulnerable and the other one that's strong. It's not easy to be the person that's vulnerable. So anyway, Bonnie and I together have kind of figured out how to talk through some things. And as we look at the world right now, I wanted to invite Bonnie to talk about our experience a little bit and her work, because she has been a dedicated person for a number of years now on nonviolent communication, how to talk through some of these situations, how to hold space when somebody's like tormenting at you. So, big breath there.
Yes.
Welcome on.
Thank you. Thank you. I was very happy when you invited me to join you to talk about this, because our language so sets us up to have conflict. We talk about fighting this and battling that and aiming at this and all of these warlike words. And we don't even realize, it's like the fish swimming in the water, don't even realize the impact that they have on our communication.
I was thinking about that a lot because I think about it particularly with people that I've cared about that have been ill. Like my brother, you know, I mean, he fought till the very end. Fought. Yeah,
right.
You know, at some point he didn't fight anymore. He accepted.
My
You know,
walk with cancer.
Yeah.
Instead of my fight against cancer.
Yeah.
Because what we fight grows stronger.
I see that, Bonnie. I think that's a law of physics, isn't it? What we resist persists. So if we push against something, it's just like
it
we create
back.
This pushback, right? So then we just end up pushing, and something then what eventually explodes
or breaks.
Or breaks.
Yep. And if you think about a tug of war, you can't even look at the name of that game, tug of war.
Oh, I never thought about that one. I think we need to think about all of these.
All of this languaging. If you refuse to pull, if you set the rope down, the game's over.
Yeah, there's no more war anymore. I've really been intrigued, as you know, again, we look at the times and what's going on around us, but you know, the asteroid goddess Eris has been conjunct Chiron, our wound, our, you know, our human, because as a human, we're all going to experience some wounding. It's our humanness in some way. So Eris is just very interesting to me, because the idea being that if we could just figure out how to live our Eris, strong, outspoken, confident, we wouldn't need war anymore. So I've thought about that.
So
And
tell us about Eris. Who is Eris?
she's an asteroid goddess. She's the one that
Oh,
knocked
wow.
Pluto out of place. She's the one that came in, and when they discovered her, all this discussion about dwarf planets. So she
Yep.
created a whole new of category of planets. Her story in mythology is basically she didn't get invited to the party. She didn't feel like she belonged. There was a gathering of the goddesses, so she threw in the apple, so they could argue over who was the fairest, and that has ended up that little tiff then that followed ended up in the Trojan War. So, but it's in some ways it's interesting, because we blame Eris for that situation, and yet at the same time, she didn't feel included. She wasn't there. And then you got these girls over here, really, that are now goddesses, that are like destroying the world over who's fairer. But because Eris set off a trigger. So Eris tends to set off our triggers. At the same time, if we heal our triggers, we don't have any more.
Right, so Eris is an opportunity. When we get triggered with something, it's an opportunity, it's a gift. What is unhealed in me? And what can I do with this to heal it?
So where do we start? I get frustrated even just watching Facebook posts. I want to speak up sometimes, but at the same time, you know, we all know the kickback when you post something or say something, it can come back pretty harsh at you.
One of the things that I've done with social media posts is when someone lashes out at me, I leave it up. I don't take it down. And I will respond in a healthy, appropriate manner. We can have a conversation about this. We can't do name calling. We can't do threats, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Can you agree to that? And sometimes there can be some back and forth. Sometimes some people are able to realize what the parameters are and rein it in, and we can have a good conversation, which I then think everybody benefits from. Not just that conversation, but the fact that I didn't just take them down, blow them off, etc. We must figure out how to have conversations with those who think differently than we do.
Where did this go wrong? Because has it always been like this? I guess in some ways, I think back over the history of humankind, and I guess the people that objected weren't treated
There's
well.
no, and there's been some nasty stuff. I mean, Heather Cox Richardson has done a great job of reporting. She's a historian, done a great job of reporting how some of the presidential candidates of the past made horrendous aspersions on each other. And so it isn't new, but we've also had those statespeople who've carried themselves with decorum and really have advanced the civility of conversation. How do we disagree respectfully and appropriately?
I accept the notion that mankind is changing. You know, that we're not
Agreed.
the same brutes that we used to be. We still have an animal instincts, and there's some primal pieces, but we also have a access to a higher level of consciousness that like
Agreed.
tells me a lot about what feels right or what feels wrong, or it becomes my moral guide. And I guess, you know, I'm thinking about this too, because we talk about this rise from third dimension to fifth dimension. We talk about the shift in that brings, even in rebalancing the divine feminine. I mean, and it seems to me that in some ways, so much of what we're talking about, even as we try to hold space for opposing views, is it's more, I don't know what I want to say, connective. more, open, less hierarchical, less, you got to do what I say or else, less, authoritarian. And
Yeah, more
so,
communicative, more
cool.
collaborative.
All good words. But boy, none of us learned how to do that.
Interestingly, we've had some lessons with this stuff over the course of years. If you think about a sporting team or Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts or those kinds of things, we have had opportunities to learn these things. But popular culture really has done a number on us in terms of playing up the rugged individualist, doesn't follow the rules, does his own thing, and it's always a his. Notice that. So a lot of those things that we actually were being taught kind of got swept under the rug. They were denigrated. They weren't valued as heavily as it would have been good for them to be valued. And really, what we're saying here is we're not trying to get rid of the divine masculine, not by any stretch, but we're trying to get rid of the toxic masculine.
And I would say bring forward the gifts of the feminine because
Absolutely.
they add to the picture. I mean, I think
Absolutely.
it is the two energies that are creative. And one of the pieces that's been missing in repressing the feminine is emotion. I guess I feel like for a long time we've just shut ourselves off from emotion. And I know in some ways people did that, I think, to survive. It was like they didn't have room for emotional. It didn't matter. They had to do this or that or this or that to
Right. Life
survive.
was so hard.
Yeah,
Right.
right. And yet we're not there anymore. And I think
No.
that's part of this
No.
shift in consciousness is that we have the capacity now to not only deal with, our emotions and think about, pleasure and pain and sadness and fear. And yet we also are seeing, I think, some intergenerational trauma come forward. So I think people are very reactive. And the more skills that we can develop to somehow calm each other and listen to each other. And I like your
Yes.
suggestion on social media. I mean, you don't want to get into an argument. That doesn't,
No.
that's like, that's the resistance. That would just add fuel to the fire.
Right. And if someone stays in their combative stance, I simply stop responding. I still won't take it down because I want people to be able to see this is the kind of communication that's out there. Here's how I chose to try to address it. It didn't work this time, but then I let it go. I'm not going to beat my head against the wall with trying to get someone to change how they are willing to approach me.
Well, one of the things that I think is most important about this whole idea of getting war out of our world is that we learn how, as individuals, I mean, how are we going to get war out of the world if we don't, if we still have war in our world?
And even within our individual selves, how much do we fight with ourselves? How much name calling do we do toward ourselves? I remember the coach that put us together as accountability buddies. I remember how odd it sounded to my ear when she was teaching us how she talks to herself. Well, honey, if you think about it this way, well, sweetheart, if you terms of endearment when she talked to herself.
That's been one of the things that I've really become aware of in this open space that I've had this winter for a bit of sabbatical space. How many years I've spent battling myself, wanting, if I had this better, if I'd lose more weight, if I'd just be taller, if I somehow I should be more successful.
If I
I
weren't
was
so
fighting
this,
myself.
yeah, or not enough that, or
So
right.
that's the place where I guess I've decided to really begin because I do believe
Yes.
that I am the only place. I mean, I'm the place where I have the most opportunity to have an impact. I can
Yes,
talk
and
all I
right here,
want
right now,
right here, right
in this
now.
moment. Forget the
Okay.
future, forget the pet. Right here, right now. This is the pregnant moment within which we can make any changes we're going to make. We can't change it in the future. We got to change. This is our moment right now.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a tricky one. You know, I think it's kind of like the pendulum swing. When we're doing something new, it can take us a little while to figure out how to do it. You know, we may not be able to do it exactly or get the results
No.
we wanted right off the bat.
And think about that. As children, we were well aware of that. When we first started walking, we fell on our butts more than we were on our feet. When we learned to whistle, we sat on the front porch and practiced, 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 practiced. When we learned to tie our shoes, ride a bike, drive a car, whatever it is, we did it. We were willing to do it terribly in order to get competent. Now, as adults, we're like, nope, if I can't do it right first time, I'm not even going to try.
Which is conflict avoidant in its own right.
Yes.
I mean, it's at least to start right there where, oh, yeah, if I'm not going to be good at this, oh, I don't want to do something I'm going to fail at.
Yes. And could we cheerlead ourselves? Okay, I didn't do well that time. What did I learn? Well, I learned if I did this a little differently. Have the conversation with you. Be your own coach,
Yeah,
be your own cheerleader.
it's funny because, of course, I've been learning, teaching, or trying to learn how to play the ukulele. And yes, it's a little sad. I mean, sometimes, it's like, it's not pretty the way you want it to be when you're learning,
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
not. So, and yet I see that it's getting better. I found myself being conscious of where I'm really practicing because I don't want anybody else to hear me that way. Well, I mean, what's wrong with
Right,
that?
right.
Failure. I'm gonna struggle. I'm not gonna do it right.
Yes.
Oh boy. This is
And that
hard
whole
though.
concept of doing it right. Well, and even the concept, I just want to call this one out too, because for me, this is certainly. I have been a human doing. I have not been a human being. And I'm tired of being a human doing. You can pull that off for a period of time, but then you're going to burn yourself out. How many of you are running around willy-nilly trying to do it all, be it all, etc.? Really, and this idea comes from Rebecca Campbell and her new book. The soul had a dream, your life is it. And she talks about the title of the chapter that I fell in love with was Be Productive, Do Nothing. Be productive, do nothing. Your soul needs vast, empty space, expansive, vast, empty space to be the full soul you're meant to be. But when we're cramming every minute full, there's room.
Yeah, well, and one of the things when we're cramming every minute full like that is we have a nervous system that's built or that's like primed for action. And so it's
And
like
fight.
overamped, yeah. So, I mean, anything that we can do to like create that space, like you said, but just to relax and step back. And I caught
Yes.
myself, earlier Bonnie and I were talking, and I used the word something about right. And Bonnie, said, I'm kind of trying to replace that word. And I think that's very important. I'm glad that I thought of that or you said that to me because. I mean, it does seem like, we do live in this world of polarity that at the same time we're trying to reconcile those opposites. There's a fine line between war and peace. There is right or wrong. There, what is that? What's right
Right.
and what's wrong? And I think this relates even to this whole conflict thing around this idea of we've set ourselves up to either win or lose. Somehow or other, like, even in an argument, I either win or
Right.
I lose, or whether it's a fight against cancer, I either win or I lose, or
And that if we even put in the word and, I win and you win. Yes, that's possible. Don't tell me it's this two ends of a continuum thing. No. There's all kinds of wins that we all can have at the same time. My winning does not mean you have to be losing.
it's just interesting again the language or the like the competitiveness. I think that's what happens a lot of times in these difficult conversations, whether it's spouses or children. Somebody's trying to convince the other one. Not the right or wrong. I don't think it's that simple. Things are not that
No.
simple.
And I think, divine masculine competition is a part of that. And competition can be an enjoyable thing. But if you're hanging on to it, again, that polar thing, I have to win, so you have to lose, then it's not enjoyable. But if
Yeah.
it can be, we're challenging ourselves, let's encourage each other, let's see how well we can do. Today I ran faster than you. Maybe tomorrow you're going to run faster than me. Can we enjoy testing what our bodies can do or testing what our minds can do and holding big space to call each other to the best of ourselves?
Yeah,
That's
no,
a whole
thank
different
you.
thing than fighting. That
Thank you for that. Yeah,
yeah.
because I think it's almost like we have to reclaim some of these words. We have to put a
Yeah.
different meaning back into them again, because that's absolutely
Yes.
true. You know, I love a good game of cards or
Right,
something, you know.
exactly.
But yeah, it isn't always about winning or losing. And it seems like somehow or other, we've put our worth or value or something around that win or loser concept. I
Agreed,
mean, we see it even
agreed.
in our sports. It's just kind of crazy to me. I love to watch a good sporting interaction. I typically don't care who wins. It's exciting to watch when they're playing well, and you know, I mean, it's a good competition, and
Close game. Yes.
yeah, and yet then people are devastated if they lost.
What I love watching is the interviews after the fact with these amazing athletes where a journalist will ask them about the loss. And I remember one interview of that ilk, and the athlete rolled his eyes and basically said, "You know, you asked me that question last time when we lost. This is about challenging ourselves. This is about being the best we can be. A loss is not that big a hairy deal. It's merely an opportunity to learn what didn't work, challenge ourselves to be better, et cetera, et cetera."
Right.
It was a beautiful philosophy of loss, a beautiful philosophy of loss.
I like that. I mean, I think that brings us back to our humanness. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. Shouldn't we enjoy playing the game, even life?
Yes. So how can we do this? How can we enjoy playing this game of life and be that light, capital L, that shines to help show the way for everyone?
Yes, and I want to add in there and still speak my truth, because I grew up to be a nice girl. I mean, basically, I didn't say no to pretty much anything. I mean, if somebody needed or wanted something from me, that's so for me, even learning how to speak to what I need, or even to be aware of what I need.
Yes. I had a beautiful example of that from graduate school because I was also raised to be the nice girl. And this young woman who was in my class in graduate school, a bunch of us asked her if she wanted to go with us somewhere. And she said, no. No explanations, no excuses, no nothing, just no. And I was in awe. She clearly had been taught how to say no and do it well.
She didn't have to justify herself. She didn't have to like make excuses of any kind. You know, she just was able to say no and let it go. Yes, and I was thinking even about that, you know, how to be honest, because I want to be able to say, sorry, I just don't think that'll work for me, or whatever. You know, I'd be able to say something, but lovingly. Even when I'm like in conflict with someone, I still want to be able to speak my piece. And I guess I also think it's very important that I listen to theirs. And I think maybe that's a piece too that gets really in the way for a lot of people. We're shut down before anybody else even starts talking. We've got our mind formed about what we think they're going to say or how they're going to be. So,
Or if we're already rattled, we're already putting the walls up to try to defend. And a couple of things there. Something caught my ear there that I want to just point out because I think it's something that women do often. We apologize. Sorry, but blah, blah, blah. No, we don't need to be sorry. We don't need to be sorry at all. I don't care to go. Nope, that won't work for me. Thanks, but I'm not interested. I want to kind of eject the word sorry from the conversation.
Good point. And it's such an example of how those patterns are there. I mean, how many of us apologize like
All the
for
time.
everything? Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
we
it's just
do.
so subtle. You don't even really recognize you're doing it as much as you are. Because I agree with you. That's something I've really been conscious of. I want to be like, thanks for waiting for me, or, I don't know, like, I don't want
Right.
to, yeah.
Yes. Put it in the positive. I appreciate you, spending time with me,
Yeah,
whatever it
yeah,
is.
yeah. Well, Bonnie, I think as people, we've got some skills to develop. And I don't know, I guess I hope that, I don't know what it's going to take for people to be willing. I think, I don't know, we have to find some common ground. Where do we begin crossing these fences or these huge divides?
I think a beautiful rule of thumb to start with that's pretty simple is what do I want? We're so focused on what we don't want. Well, I don't want to be like him. He's such a jerk, blah, blah, blah. And there's evolutionary reasons why our brains focus on don't want, what's dangerous, et cetera, et cetera. But for the most part, much of what's happening out there isn't the saber-toothed tiger. It isn't really going to kill us. It's conflict with Great Uncle Harry at Christmas time, whatever. What do we want? Okay, I want to feel at peace at Christmas time, even though Great Uncle Harry is doing his thing. How do I stay peaceful? What needs to change in my brain? And it's probably what I'm telling myself. I'm probably saying, oh, he's such a jerk. Why does he do this every Christmas? He ruins every Christmas, blah, blah. That's going to make me miserable.
Yeah. So looking at the patterns that we bring to the table, I think
Yes.
about even li how much we listen to the news or how much we Facebook scroll or something like that. I mean, I think all of those things impact our mood state.
Yes.
We need to
Yeah, and
be.
can we be willing to just experiment? I'm not saying stop watching Fox News. What I'm saying is, are you willing to experiment? Are you willing to take a one day hiatus off of doom scrolling and just notice how it feels to you? It's real addictive doing that, and you may have a hard time putting your phone down and not falling into the pattern, but be curious. This is an experiment. You can change it whenever you wish.
I love those words. Be curious. They're helpful in so many ways, to be able to ask, oh, why am I reacting to this? Or, oh, I wonder what this is trying to show me. Or,
Isn't this interesting?
yeah, So, especially when we're trying to cross bridges and communicate with someone in a different place, I think maybe it's because none of us feel heard enough. But it seems like if we get a chance to speak what's on our mind, we go at it pretty intently. How good are we at listening? And these
Yes.
are basic skills, really. Listening,
Yes.
be open, be curious.
Care about this other person who you are talking to. It's a human being. Even if they're being kind of heinous, they're a human being, a divine child,
Yeah, I like that.
yeah. See, as best you can, see the value in any human being or beyond human being. Our Mother Earth, how can we see, can we value not? So I remember a discussion with someone from the Forest Service, and she was differentiating trees as sentient beings versus trees as board feet, linear board feet. It's the same tree. It's a whole different perspective.
Well, and I see a pattern often in communication of using you words, which, I mean, it's just they so trigger defensiveness. I've really practiced on being able to speak to how I feel, what I'm thinking, what I need, how I'm reacting, speaking to my experience rather than it seems like when escalated, it's easy to be angry, again, it's a bit of an emotional arousal against someone. So then it's like, you always, or you never, how come you, or, that person over there, or that neighbor, it's almost like
You
they're the
people.
bad
Ooh,
people. Yes, you have,
you people.
yeah. Oh gosh, I get so tired of being labeled into a group of people that I don't feel like I mean, yeah, I kind of fit, but I mean, like, I'm not an awful, horrible person. In fact, I think
No,
there's.
and any of those labels, sometimes it's useful as calmly as you can to say, tell me what you mean by that label. So you've labeled someone a Republican, a Democrat, a liberal, a conservative, a this, a that, a whatever.
A
Tell me what
snowflake.
you, yeah, tell me what you mean by that label. What does that mean? Because take any one of those labels. Let's just take liberal. I could show you 20 people who self-identify as liberal, and they're not the same people. They've got many different beliefs and many different flashpoints and whatever. The human brain wants to put people into a box because then they're easy to understand. Anybody in the box with this label must be this. It doesn't work.
No, and I'm kind of wondering if maybe as humanity we've got a backlog of anger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and somehow or other, we got to find a way to like get rid of that because it does color our interactions.
But even being willing to speak it, I'm feeling really angry right now. And so I'm concerned that I'm going to have an intensity in my voice that's going to kind of move you into a place of defensiveness. That isn't what I'm aiming for here. There's the word aiming. That isn't what I want. But I am feeling an intensity here. So give me a minute to kind of get a grip or whatever you want to say, but self-identify. Here's what I'm feeling. And I will tell you, and this is a really sad thing. The majority of people, they did a study on this. The majority of people can only name accurately three emotions. Holy buckets. Holy buckets. How are we going to have a conversation and how are we going to heal emotions when all we know right now is three of them?
Yes, I love telling people to go get online, go to Google and Google emotion wheels. I mean, you can get it as a pillow, or you can get it as a poster, or you can get it in 50 billion different forms, but you know, all of those words. Yeah, there's a richness and a flavor and a nuance to our lives that we don't allow ourselves.
I mean, if we talk about anger, we could have irritation, we could have frustration, we could have rage, I mean, there's flavors of all of these, and hopefully we would deal with them somewhat differently.
Oh, and back to kind of conversation also about like armor, and battle language. But you know, when we don't allow ourselves to deal with some of those more challenging emotion, we also don't get to experience the nuances and the depth of the more enriching emotions, what I would call them. Oh boy. Yeah, because I mean, that's one of the things that I feel like doing work on understanding and recognizing my own emotions has done for me is it's opened my world in so many ways to things like pleasure, enjoyment, delight, satisfaction, contentment, calm, ease, peace. Ah, God, I think there was a time in my life where I didn't really believe any of those things were possible.
And it's unfortunate. Well, but I'm sure there's the divine wisdom behind this. When you shut down what you perceive as negative, scary emotions, yeah, the good stuff goes too. You can't feel the full amount of joy that's possible if you're not willing to feel the full amount of sorrow that's possible. And to live as a human being, we want to embrace that all.
And I do believe we've got a backlog of anger, sadness, grief. I mean, we haven't allowed healthy spaces, healthy appreciation of those emotions. I guess I'm thinking about even how quickly we're supposed to either get over things or suck it up, or don't be a big baby, or I don't know, all those things. As kids, certainly a message of be seen but not heard. So that when you go to speak, it's It's scary to speak.
Well, and when you do speak and it's invalidated, especially as a kid, you learn it's not safe to speak. So the
And that
more space we can hold for all of us to speak our truth, and valid to say, you know, I hear what you're saying. I don't agree with you, but I hear what you're saying. And so what I'm hearing you say is, and feed it back to them.
I gotta say too, I love there was always a line from Love and Logic that came in very handy for me in parenting, because it would be easy to say something back to the kids, you know, that somehow kind of up this resistant thing that we would get going. But when I learned to say things like, "Wow, yeah, that's pretty complicated," or "Oh, that must be really hard for you," or "That's an interesting situation," you know, just to kind of some kind of neutral response. It really opened up the communication then. And instead of this, I don't know, almost like a power thing back and forth,
Right.
it just opened up conversation.
Yeah, the one that drove me wild was, you keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. And I'm like, okay, I'm already crying. There is a reason why I'm crying. I already have something to cry about. I just did not understand that as a kid at all.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? And so, Bonnie, you know, I guess I hope moving forward that you and I continue to like call ourselves on battle language and things that we are labeling, example, right or wrong, that then can connotates that one is better than the other.
Yes. And limiting things. That's a hard one, because usually when we self-limit, it's because we're afraid. But I don't know as friends if we're doing our friends a favor by not showing where they're self-limiting. Well, I couldn't possibly do that, or that won't work for me, or and I can't remember who said it to me, but they basically said, argue for your limitations and you get to keep them. And I was like, ooh, that is not cool.
It seems like that shifts us back around to that whole idea of like mindset. How do we open to the positive? How do we open to possibility and curiosity and some idea that, geez, somebody might even offer something that makes more sense than what we were thinking?
Yes. And the universe, I think, has way of such a vast array of possibilities. So one of the things I like to say when I'm asking for something is, this or something better. This or something better, to acknowledge that my view is limited.
I'm working on that for my lodging in Mexico next year.
Woohoo!
I want, you know, this where I'm at or something better. This or something
Yes.
better. Thank you. Yes. And yes.
Absolutely.
So I guess, yes, we set our intention and hold out the ideas and see what can come. Well, I think this is skills that we are hopefully all people are willing to look at, because I think we've recognized the dangers of this divisiveness, or I feel like I have more. Maybe I should speak to that from my perspective, because I do see friends and people that I disagree on some things with, and yet, like even I, you know, I love my sister Jean, and yet very often it feels like when we go to have a discussion about something, I think we're both just trying to like make sure that our perspective is understood or heard. So we start talking a little louder. And I recognize that in some ways, even that can be perceived as anger. That, you know, she might say to me, "Oh, well, you're really getting angry about this." And it's not anger as much as it's passion.
Yeah, intensity, trying to
Yeah.
make the point.
It's something that I feel strongly about. And so even as I can accept that she doesn't feel that way, I recognize that there is a tone to my voice that reflects how important it is to me.
Yes, and even then, to put that into words, I know I can tell that I'm escalating my voice a little bit, because it's so important to me that you hear what I'm trying to say. Can you tell me back what you're hearing me say?
Even if you disagree, it's okay.
Right. I just want to know that I'm heard.
Well, I think this is again part of the problem. I don't think people have felt heard. I think that's one of the reasons people get loud.
I also don't think people have been encouraged to put their needs out there. I mean, think about when we were little kids. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that was a total lie.
Yeah,
Words
yeah.
hurt. Words hurt a lot. And what if we were honest about that? You know, that hurts. That wasn't a, that didn't feel good for you, me to hear that you say that. You know, what if we were honest?
It was real. It's really, back to Eris's idea about belonging. But I guess I felt like a lot of the time I didn't belong because it just seemed like nobody cared what I thought. So I felt left out of the conversation. I think everybody just wants to feel like they have a voice in the conversation.
Absolutely.
I think it's a big subject that we could probably talk on for days.
Yes. And again, even if people will just make a little inroads for themselves, even if all they take out of this is, I really want to practice speaking kindly to myself. Fabulous. Fabulous.
I think that's where it has to begin. It has to begin with us. If we're going to, in any way, shape, or form, create a world without war, I mean, that's going to be an accumulation of what we do.
Yes.
And I appreciate the Taurus energy, in this picture also about basically Taurus says, watch the beauty. Look for beauty.
There's the what do we want? Again, Mother Teresa, if you have an anti-war rally, do not invite me. If you have a pro-peace rally, I will be there.
Looking at solutions rather than fighting the
What
issue.
do we want?
I mean, clearly, if anybody that follows me or listens to me at any length of time probably has a sense of my political leaning. And yet, at the same time, I just feel like I'm really overall politically open. So, as I say, even Kamala Harris's campaign slogan, when we fight, we win. I don't want that. I want to say, no, when we fight, we all lose. Somehow or other, we've got to
When
figure
we
out.
communicate, everybody wins.
Yes, when we share, when we recognize that we're in this together, it isn't about I beat this person or that person. And it's very interesting again to me the way our political system has settled into that divisiveness. But I see the same kind of things in divorces. When married relationships break up, there's a winner and a loser. There's a good guy and a bad guy. There's always got to be this.
And even if the couple themselves don't go there, the system is set up adversarially, and it takes a lot of effort to get through that system without becoming polarized.
Oh, the system and our own internal system, Bonnie. Because I think about this. I mean, when it really dawned on me the other day, how can we support Israel and, destroying Gaza and all that's gone on there? How can we do that and think of ourselves as the good guy, and yet we villainize and evilize Putin for doing that in Ukraine? I just feel like, I mean, that's almost like for how long have we been doing this? And it never really even crossed my mind to think of it that way. So, I mean, I guess we have to like be aware of the subtle ways that we somehow like make things okay that aren't.
Yes, there was an interesting one that was posted 2 days ago that I thought, wow, this really. So the headline was student stabbed after flipping up girl's dress. And someone posted, why doesn't it say young woman defends herself from unwanted sexual behavior? It's all about the perspective. What lenses are we looking through?
And what we've kind of accepted is, oh, that's just
Boys will be
behavior.
boys.
Yeah,
No,
or
no,
whatever
no,
it is.
no.
That's just, dad, that's just, and I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make it all about males either, because, I mean, certainly we've got wounded feminine, wounded repressed feminine, wounded masculine. We've got a lot to sort out here. And I
Yes.
think that as you kind of said, and I appreciated your redirect or idea on the word competitive, because there's value in these masculine qualities.
Yes,
There is also value
absolutely.
in these feminine qualities and
Right.
finding the
And both
balance.
can exist. It's not an either or. They both can exist. And there's a richness when both of them exist.
And boy, maybe if we do actually create a world where they're both on an equal par, maybe that's really all it takes to create a world without war. Ah, well, that seems like a pretty good note to end on, I'd say, Bonnie.
It does. It does.
Any other thoughts you want to say as we, wrap things up here?
Just one thought that if you're sitting there going, well, this is all great, and but I still don't know what to do or how to say things or how to deal with great Uncle Harry at Christmas, blah, blah. There's a beautiful book by Sharon Ellison called Taking the War Out of Our Words. And it is so helpful because she puts little vignettes in there with the words you can use or the words you can change to fit for your words. But it opens up a whole new way of communicating. And it was so helpful to me a couple years
Yeah.
ago when I found it.
Well, that's good. So taking the war out of your words by who? What's her name again?
Sharon Ellison,
Sharon Ellison.
Ellison.
You mentioned another book earlier too.
Yes, Rebecca Campbell, and it's called Your Soul Had a Dream, Your Life Is It: How to Be Held by Life When It Feels Like Everything Is Falling Apart.
Yeah. And we've all, or many of us have heard of the nonviolent communication, material. So there's a lot of materials out there that can be helpful to people. And I just want to say, Bonnie is a active therapist and can be found at,
Bonnie at Empowerment and Purpose, the and is spelled out, .com. And my email is Bonnie, just the Bonnie at Empowerment and Purpose .com. So feel free to send me a message if you have questions.
Yeah, because I mean, I think sometimes just even having somebody to sort through some of these emotions with is a really good way to start. And so I appreciate all the work that you've done, Bonnie, to learn about this and to share your experience and your ideas. And I'm
Well,
certainly
and
grateful for
yes.
you in my life and our ability to find our way through some,
Absolutely true.
differences.
Ditto. That was a brilliant pairing that coach put together there, I think. And thank you so much for all the work you do because you have, as Dolly Parton would say, stretched my mind.
Awesome. That's what we can do for each other, right? We learn. We learn from each other. It's really valuable and important.
Yes.
All right, Bonnie. Well, thanks for this. And well, I guess everybody listening, we'll look forward to catching you the next time. And in the meantime, shine on.
Oh my goodness gracious, beautiful oasis with that voice sweet as honey. Birdie in the air, nothing can compare. You're worth more than the whole world's money. Just to hear that sweet voice even brings the bees joy. Pour it on me warm, sweet honey. Every word you say, if you sing it in that way, yeah, you can make a gray sky sunny. Ooh. warm, sweet.